So the A is a section of the testing. A simply means abnormalities.
Oh, okay.
Aneuploidy. So basically what we're looking at is are there any chromosomal defects? You know, we are all made up of
okay, but before we go into the specifics of that, that's what we're going to talk about finally. Yeah. But before we go into specifics of that, I just wanted like a general overview of problems of fertility. I know Dr. Babafemi helped us with that, but I just want to go over it for, because we've had some episodes between that that didn't talk about fertility. So just like an overview of fertility issues in Nigeria generally. It doesn't have to be that detailed, but you work in the lab, so what are some of the things you see from the tests that you
conduct? Basically, when we from the lab in the fertility business, we're basically handling the sperm from the man, and then we are also handling the eggs from the woman. So the causes of infertility are a bit variable, so it could actually come from the man, which we term male factor infertility, which Dr. Gunya has probably explained.
Yes, yeah.
And we also have from the female side, it's called female factor infertility. It could actually be from both parties. Mm-hmm. And sometimes everything could just be fine, but we just can't explain what is the cause of infertility is. And from the male aspect, is basically we're looking at the sperm count. So how good is the sperm in terms of its numbers? And also its movement, because of course you need the sperm to move so that it can get to the woman's eggs to have them fertilized and have a baby. So statistics have actually shown that about 40% of infertility is caused by the male aspect, either problems with the numbers or the movement or even the appearance, which is called the morphology of the sperm. And also for the women, from the women's side, we could have age, which is a major factor. So nature has already made women not able to have children once they get older. So basically the quality of the eggs that we have decline as we age. That's how God has made it. So age is a major factor when it comes to female infertility. You could also have some other structural things. I'm sure Dr. Either they have a tubal defect, so where the eggs are supposed to pass through to get fertilized could be blocked, so it could prevent the attachment of the sperm to the egg.
Let me go to Dr. Babafemi now. Okay, so let me come to you now. Now there's this talk everywhere that maybe you can eat something to make what you produce better. From your expertise, what would you say to that?
Well, there are some certain lifestyle changes that could help to boost fertility. Especially the well-documented one is the one for the male. Especially for the men, that you eat balanced diet, you do exercises, not strenuous ones. Mm-hmm. And also, what else? So basically, those are the two things.
Well, what are the myths that you've heard? The ones the myths about fertility that you've heard. Okay, maybe I'll go around
A major myth, that from the women, though, that if you have a fibroid, that you're not going to get pregnant.
That's a big myth.
Yes, it's a big myth, because having fibroid doesn't mean that you cannot have babies.
Okay,
the research has really not tied fibroid to infertility, except of course if it's very huge, and then but taking it out doesn't really say if we take it out you must get pregnant. You not getting pregnant doesn't mean that it's because of the fibroids that it's preventing you from. So that's the latest research that has been out there.
That's what means that
so what the fertility specialists are actually advocating is that if the fibroid does not do anything to the woman, please do not take it out, so you don't cause
extra
more
problems.
All right, what about that?
Of course, women, there are a lot of myths going out there. People talk of a particular diet that you must take, that once you take this diet, you become very, very fertile. I remember there's there was a story, it's still ongoing. I'm sure you'd have heard about it, Iwora. you know, your state,
yeah,
where they eat this particular kind of vegetable and they're known to have twins. And some people have also said, okay, if I'm actually not having children, do I move to Bora and see if I eat all these things? Maybe it increases my fertility, but all those things are actually still myths that are, they are myths actually. But all those things have actually been attributed to maybe the environmental factors, genetic factors, and what they actually take in that environment, which is that's why I say is a myth actually of infertility.
All right, do you have any to share?
I have to.
Okay.
Talking about diets, it's been reported somewhere that eating a lot of pounded yam
can help you.
Help to for you to have twins. Because the most reported cases of twining is very popular in Nigeria, especially in the Yoruba tribe. So they said it's because they eat a lot of pounded yam. Then the second one I know is that people say that the more the man abstains from sex, the more, you know, more potent or the more the quality, the semen of the man when he ejaculates. That's not true, you know. So we counsel that the man should have regular sexual intercourse because that improves the quality at the end of the day.
Okay.
There's what we call spam aging.
It's like total opposite.
Yes. Okay. There's what we call spam aging. You know, it takes, let's say, like 72 hours for his sperm to live inside the system of the man. So if he abstains for more than, let's say, 10 days, 15 days, the quality of the ejaculate is not going to be high because there will be a lot of dead sperm cells inside the system.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. All right, it's still Health Connect reaching you from Radio 1, 103.5 FM. It's your news talk sports station. And my guests at the studio are from the Bridge Clinic, and they specialize in fertility issues. They've been on it for 20 years. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll now focus on the main issue that we want to talk about today, and that's the PGTA. So don't go anywhere. Don't forget that you can join us. We'll call out the phone numbers when we come back from the break. So don't go anywhere. To Health Connect from your news talk sports station, Radio 1, 103.5 FM. Now, I'm not alone today, as you've been listening to three experts. We have Dr. Babatunde Ogunniran, a fertility physician, Mrs. Rose Obeche, she's the head of laboratory, and Mr. Adefemi Olaifa, a senior embryologist. Thank you so much for being with us. Okay, let's now go straight to PGTA. Now, let me start from doctor. Can you define what exactly that is branch of fertility?
Yeah, so we said the full meaning of PGTA means pre-implantation genetic testing. Okay. So the A aspect is aneuploidy.
Pre-implantation
genetic testing.
So that's before the baby even gets.
Now, what we're talking about that means that we're doing testing on the embryos, because what it means is that for someone that wants to get pregnant, that has issues getting pregnant and wants to go through the IVF procedure, do you understand? You have to start the stimulation process, get the eggs, then use the husband's sperm to inject those eggs. Now, those embryos that are resulting from that process is what we now test. That's why it's called pre-implantation genetic testing, because anybody that will go through IVF procedure, the end stage of God is the embryo transfer, when we have to transfer those embryos back into the woman. So before we transfer those embryos back, we want to now test those embryos for abnormalities, and those abnormalities are the part of the A that we're talking about. Because PGT itself has different subdivisions. Do you understand? We're basically talking about PGTA today. There's PGTM, which I maybe we'll talk about another day. There's also what we call PGTSR. Okay, all those are different branches of the PGT, but we're focusing on the PGTA means that we're screening for abnormal chromosomes do you understand, abnormal genetic malformations in the embryos itself. Because for every normal human being, basic biology, everybody has 23 pairs of chromosomes in the basic biology at the genetic level. Yeah. So now when I screen for abnormalities in those chromosomes, because you could see some deletions in some particular chromosomes, and you could see some abnormalities in those chromosomes that could actually also lead to other problems in women, like some people having recurrent miscarriages or giving birth to babies with Down syndrome and those chromosomal abnormalities. Because we also know that as the age also increases of the woman, there's also risk of having abnormal babies.
Okay, so what you're telling me now, yeah. what you're telling us now actually is basically that you could do a test to determine how healthy your child is when you have...
Yes, before you even get pregnant.
Before you get pregnant.
Yes.
What if I don't have a problem getting pregnant, but I want to do that?
No, there are also subdivisions. Now, for example, some people say, okay, which is part of the subset of having PGTA. Mm-hmm. Like some people that, okay, we talk about sex selection. Mm-hmm. That, for example, okay, and some other disorders that are actually commoner in some particular genders. So they also want to go through this process, because I don't want to have an abnormal baby. I don't want to have an abnormal child. I've had a child with Down syndrome before. I don't want to have a child with Down syndrome. So that risk that we're looking at is where the PGTA now comes in. So they have to now go through that IVF process before they get to that stage of testing those embryos to screen for these chromosomal abnormalities.
Okay, so how recent is this innovation?
Okay, the innovation actually happened sometime in 1989 by a man called Handeside and his team. So it was actually, the reason why it was done was because they had a family who had an X-linked. So
what?
X is a female chromosome. So mostly the male in the family usually comes down with a particular kind of genetic disease. So the family wanted to screen for only female babies, because they don't want their male babies to be affected. So that's how the procedure, you know, really started. And over the years, because of the science that has been really put into it, as at 2006, we only had about 26 mutations. Mutations are the abnormalities mm-hmm. that were actually detected by this in technology. But with time, and in recent time, you have over 300 of those mutations that have actually been diagnosed or screened using this technology. So it's been in Nigeria, I think, since 2009. We've had successful pregnancies from this procedure, live pregnancies, and it's here to stay. So a lot of modifications have actually been done. We've moved from technology to technology from this procedure.
Okay, so I have to ask this, how affordable is this? Because that's the main thing.
Well, when you talk of affordability, you know, you cannot put, having a healthy child,
you can't put a price to mm-hmm. it, but a lot of Nigerians who are interested, they will think about that. So you don't have to give me a ballpoint figure, okay. But let's just have, like, is it expensive?
Expensive, like you say, it's very relative, but I think between about 2 to 3 million, thereabouts, sometimes a million, depending on really what you're doing, because there are different aspects, you know, to it. But of course, in doing this, you also need to consider the cost for the in vitro fertilization procedure, because this is not done without IVF. Mm-hmm.
No, it's not done without IVF, because I wanted to come to you actually mm-hmm. and I ask you, what if the woman is pregnant? And I do know that I watched some medical shows that you can do some testing pregnant woman.
Those are what we call prenatal diagnosis.
Yes,
the woman is already pregnant.
Yeah,
you are not going ahead to test. You are using invasive procedures like what we call chorionic venous sampling. I don't want to go into too many medical terms. Mm-hmm. So you actually take tests and you actually can withdraw maybe part of the amniotic fluid to actually screen. For example, those that are ASAS, they want to know if it's an SS child or screen. So that's, the woman is already pregnant. But for that, now imagine somebody that goes into pregnancy, gets pregnant, and now has an SS child or SS baby, and now has to think of aborting that child. So PGT has moved beyond that. Before you even get pregnant, before we even transfer those embryos, we can actually test, and that's the advantages. Those are the advantages above the prenatal diagnosis.
Okay, so who can have a PGT? You just said someone that can conceive, but is there a a streamlined, like maybe age grade or something.
So for PGTA, what we're talking about now, which is basically to check the abnormalities of the chromosome. So if you've had a family history of any genetic defects, you know, most commonly, you know, what people know is Down syndrome. Now, Down syndrome has an age association, but younger people too can have Down syndrome. So if you have a family history of any of this defects, PGTA will be for you. And because recurrent pregnancy losses or recurrent miscarriages.
Let's go back to, before you go to the miscarriage, the next point. Let's go back to, apart from Down syndrome, because if that's the only thing, some people like, I don't need it, I can wing it. Are there other
chromosomal defects
that we need
to
look at?
There's so many. There is Edwards, there's Patau, there's a whole lot of syndrome, depending on the deletion of the particular chromosomes.
So PGT works for any of
these. Yes, because it will check everything on each of the chromosomes. So if there is a deletion anywhere, and there are a lot less defects that we hear of, and that's why we say Down syndrome, because it's something that's more common, or people, not more common per se, but people know about Down syndrome. But there are a whole lot of defects that could come up due to either an addition, deletion of a particular chromosome.
Okay, so let's go to other...
So for recurrent pregnancy losses, so basically people that have maybe three or more recurrent pregnancy losses or miscarriages due to one factor or the other. Now, chromosomes only account for about 30% of why these people go through a miscarriage. So if you know that your miscarriage may be due to chromosome aneuploidies, then this technique could be for you. And then also for age too, because of course once the woman ages, there are high chances that chromosomes could be abnormal. So, but the only thing we advise for people that have an age-related miscarriage is that for you may have to do more than one cycle in terms of IVF cycle in order to get enough embryos, you know, to go through this procedure.
Right,
but basically, it's for older people too.
Okay. Yes. Dr. Adefemi, talk to us about the procedures. The procedure somebody has to go through before you get all this, before you get to the PGTA, the woman that is involved, the man that is involved, what do they need to do?
Okay, yeah, for the couple, first of all, they come in to the clinic, they do some preliminary tests, they check their hormones, and the man also provides a sample for a semen analysis so that we know we have an idea of the quality of a semen sample. Then when they're ready for the procedure, we go ahead and stimulate the woman by giving some hormonal drugs. And then after, let's say, about 2 weeks of taking some injections, they will come for egg collection, where we collect the eggs from the woman transvaginally. And also on the day, the man too provides a semen sample, which we process or we wash to make sure that it's clean enough for the procedure. Then when we get the eggs, we work on them in the laboratory by, you know, making sure that they are ready for injection, that is the intracytoplasmic sperm injection. Then we get the sperm, we inject a single sperm cell into a matured egg. Then the next day we check for fertilization. Then we also monitor the development of the embryos, you know, in culture. That means we put them inside an incubator, you know, something that that looks like the womb, an artificial womb, so to say, so that they'll be able to grow optimally. Then we also, so on day five actually, we take some cells out. The cells are supposed to, the embryos are supposed to be at the blastocyst stage at that time.
At the what?
The blastocyst stage. Well, that's the stage of an embryo on the
on
five.
The fifth
on
day.
Once you culture the embryos
on the fifth day, you know, they are called the blastocyst.
Okay.
From the first day that we collect, we count to day five. That is where we should, they should be at the blastocyst stage. So we take some cells out of, because by that time they have a lot of cells, because you know the embryos develop from one cell to two cell, three cell, mm-hmm. four cell, until they become blastocysts. And when they are blastocysts, they have a lot of cells. So we take off some trophoectoderma cells, and then we...
You're killing me here.
Too much energy.
Basically, what he's talking about, those embryos, as we monitor them to the 50th day. So basically, they have, of course, the outer covering, there's the inner part, they have many cells. So basically, we're taking part of those samples, which is the what we're talking about, the biopsy.
Mm-hmm.
So that sample that is taken is what we now analyze, going through this process of PGTA. So at that process, at that 50, that's when the process of the PGTA now starts.
Oh, okay.
So we are taking a sample out of those embryos. So it's not that it's the whole embryo that is taken to do that testing. We are taking part of that outer layer of the cells, taking it for testing, and those are the ones that are analyzed to get all this.
Then we also freeze them.
Why are you freezing them?
Yeah, we freeze them because the results, before we can get the result, can take some time.
Okay.
Before we get it, so we will freeze the embryos, we freeze them
just so they stop growing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. 0813-331-3172 and 0818-706-9979. Those are the numbers to call in. You're listening to Health Connect on Radio 1 103.5 FM. We're talking, and we have our guests are from the Bridge Clinic. They specialize in fertility issues, and I'm sure that if you're a regular listener, you will know them by now. So you can call in and ask questions when it comes to fertility. We're talking basically on PGTA, and that is actually taking, let me try in my layman's term,
right.
A fertilized egg that is not in the womb, and just choosing which one I want. If I want long hair,
no,
not that simple. If I want a healthier baby,
yeah.
I don't want SS, a child with SS or any other birth defects like that. I can choose. So that is what we are talking about now. You can call and ask questions on 0813-331-3172 or 0818-706-9979. Dr. Babatunde, what have you ever encountered any moral? Maybe people have any moral issues with this. Especially, of course, you know, in our society, we are very moral. We are very, I don't want to play God, whatever God gives me. So what would you say to people that have, that, well,
yes, like, well, of course, we've encountered many cases, and I'm sure some people even come up that the fact of IVF itself, even IVF itself is not a natural birth, that it's ungodly. Those are some of the things we've encountered, actually. So even going to the extent of doing an extra for the PGTA that we're talking about, too, there's that conviction that some people have that, no, why do I have to play God? But what we're looking at is the aspect of God and science. They actually go hand in hand, because science has improved over time. In 1978, when the first baby was born through IVF, that's Louise Brown, there were a lot of controversies surrounding it. There were a lot of even attacks on the family itself. And it's as if those people then at that time were condemned. Once you have a tubal problem, you are just condemned not to have children. Well, we know how that has moved now. The lady is now 41 years old. She lives in the UK, and we can see, and she has her own baby.
Naturally.
So we can see how that has progressed over time. So, and that's the point, that science is improving every day. And if there's a way of actually helping out and reducing the risk of having an abnormal child, reducing the risk of having a child with Down syndrome, if these are all the advantages, then definitely it's something that is worth going into, and something that is actually going to improve even the lifestyle of every man eventually.
Okay, let's talk a little about your experience as a clinic so far. You're going to celebrate your 20th anniversary. When exactly is that, actually?
So, well, we are 20 already, but of course, we are the big launch will be sometime in November.
Okay.
Yes. So, there are a whole lot of series of events that are already out there, a lot of campaigns, and, you know, just getting in touch with all our innovations and all our babies, you know, checking up on them to make sure that they are all doing fine. And we are going to also culminate, you know, really round up the event.
Let's take this call. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, good day. This is Tao.
Where are you calling?
I'm only getting away from the source. Calling from Ikorodu.
Okay, go ahead.
I do not know how to come in, other than to say I'm still partly in the dark. So this is how the soul only gives
you. Yeah, but
from
hello, hello.
Hello.
What do you mean by you're battling in the dark? What exactly don't you understand so we can explain better?
I said I do not know how to come in other than to say I'm still in the dark. I'm still partly in the dark.
In what way precisely?
Everything you've discussed today.
You don't understand anything?
Yes, I'm still partly in the dark. So if someone is still partly, in the dark, contribution might be born out of ignorance.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I think. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
The soul only gives away from the source.
All right.
From Ikorodu.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. The number is, if you are still in the dark like Tao, we'd like some specific questions so we know where to start from or where to go back to. But what we'll do is, before we go, we'll just try and do a little overview of what we're talking about today. We're talking, we've crossed from, okay, we know that whoever is going for this procedure cannot have children naturally. So that one is, this is for people who are looking for children through IVF. IVF is, please explain.
In vitro fertilization.
In vitro fertilization.
Yeah,
so the fertilization that is done outside of the body.
Yes, yeah, so mm-hmm. when the eggs are fertilized outside, they are brought back to the woman's womb.
Yes.
And then the baby grows. So this procedure we're talking about is like, a step further when you're talking about IVF, and that is when you're trying to have a baby. So if you have questions concerning that, that's what we're talking about. This particular PGT-A is a procedure where you can look at the eggs,
the embryo,
mm-hmm. and look at the unhealthy ones,
mm-hmm.
and take out the unhealthy ones, so you are assured that the baby you're going to have is going to be a fully healthy normal baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I got it.
Very straight.
All right. So 0813-331-3172 and 0818-706-9979. I hope that's clearer. But if you have more questions, you can call in and then we'll take your questions again. And before we go, we'll try and talk about PGT-A just briefly once. I hope I'll get my medical people to talk some more. Break it down big time for everyone when you're rounding up. But let's still talk about the Bridge Clinic a little more. If, for instance, someone has questions, is too shy to call in right now but wants to talk to you or get in touch with you, how do we get in touch with you?
Yeah, so first of all, as we said, if you want to find out more about this PGT, as we said now, you can send text PGT to our WhatsApp line. One of our consultants will contact you. The WhatsApp line,
okay, what
is 081-0460-7791. I'll take it again.
Mm-hmm.
Text PGT to our WhatsApp line, 081-0460-7791. You can also contact the Bridge Clinic and call us in if you want to book an appointment. And you can call also the number 01-631-0092. I'll take it again, 01-631-0092. You can also visit our website, www.thebridgeclinic.com, and you can also find out information and also even contact and also book your appointments through there. And also, we're also located at Ikeja GRE.
Okay.
And that's 66 Odudua Way, Ikeja GRE. If you are coming in through maybe Oshodi, coming through Ikeja, Odudua Way is off Adekunle Faji Way.
Oh,
that's
okay.
In GRE, so mm-hmm. it's close by in something central. You can also follow our social media handles, and you can also contact. There's always somebody. You follow at Facebook, Bridge Clinic, Twitter handle at the Bridge Clinic, and on Instagram at Bridge Clinic Fertility Clinic. So there's always somebody to actually answer all your questions. So all this, we're everywhere. Social media, the numbers, WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram. So you can always contact, and there's somebody always there. To answer.
Yeah. So I hope you got that number to call, 01-631-0092. 01-631-0092. And if you're
if you want to send a WhatsApp. Do they have to put PGT? What if I just want
to... You can also contact if you just want to ask questions. Just, you can any, just say hello, hi. Somebody's going to contact you.
Okay.
You want to you have questions about fertility, have questions about IVF, questions generally, because basically anything you want to ask about, there's always somebody to respond.
Okay, so let's talk about the your progress so far in Nigeria as a clinic, Ridge Clinic, past 20 years. How have you come? How easy has it been to delve into the Nigerian fertility market, and what exactly has your experiences been so far?
Yes, Bridge Clinic started way back in 1999 at Victoria Island. That's where we started from. And you know, the IVF world itself, it was something developing, something starting afresh at that time. So we're really, really proud to say that we're the pioneers of IVF in Nigeria. And we had the first set of twins in 1999.
Oh, that's
interesting. Yes, we had the first set of twins in 1999. Then also an extra aspect that we went into also is what we call the ICSI, which Mr. Femi mentioned earlier. ICSI, simply ICSI. Mm-hmm. It simply means intra cytoplasmic sperm injection. I'll break it down. What it means, intra means inside. Cytoplasmic means the inside layer. That's the inside environment of the egg itself. Then, of course, we're injecting sperm cells. So, for example, for those that have very, very poor semen parameters, like very, very low semen parameters, you can actually go ahead, because there's the conventional IVF. There's also the ICSI. So the ICSI is just an extra form in which you now have to pick individual sperm cells and inject into each egg. And we also had that, and our first baby through that was in 2000 itself. Then, of course, there are other aspects of IVF. There are those that cannot carry their pregnancies on their own due to maybe uterine factors, or those that have had surgeries that they had to remove their womb because of complications and they want to go through surrogacy. We also had the pioneer that we had our first baby through IVF surrogacy in 2003. And something that is also special about the Bridge Clinic, over the last 20 years, we've had over 2,500 babies.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Let me just pause you a bit. Right. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Your name, please.
Yes,
all right, go ahead, Paul.
Yes. I want to ask a question. What is the cost of infertility in a man
or a woman? Okay, I think that is... Because of infertility, that is going to be a whole program in a man and a woman. I think we did the infertility women for two times.
Two times, and then we talked about the male factor. So I'll just summarize. For the female factor, when we talk about cause of infertility, 30% from the female, 30% from the male.
She 30% said 40% from
the male. No, it varies from different studies. So 30% combined male and female factor. So when we're talking about female factor, we're talking about what is commoner in our environment is actually tubal factor. So most times people have gone, they've done tests, they find that their tubes are blocked. Okay, so it could actually also is a major cause of infertility in women. There's also the ovarian factor, in which there's problem with ovulation. Okay, so there are some disorders that women are not actually ovulating. Okay, so they have regular sexual intercourse, but they find out they are not getting pregnant. We've done semen parameters, everything is fine. So it could be problems with ovulation that we also check. And we also mentioned about the age-related ovarian decline. As one continues to grow older in age, that could also cause a reduction, because as women also ages, there's a reduction in the quality of the eggs. Also, the number of the eggs the woman has continues to reduce as the age increases. So all these factors come in together. There are also uterine factors. People have talked about endometriosis. That's another topic entirely. Even fibroids, there's a causal association, as we mentioned earlier. It doesn't mean that if you have fibroids, you cannot get pregnant. But depending on the location of these fibroids, depending on the size of these fibroids, they could actually have an impact on the chance of conception. There's also the cervical factor as well. That's the lower part of the womb, if the cervix is narrowed, there's all caused stenosis. All these factors have actually been implicated on the female side. Then for the male side, of course, the semen parameters are the things we talked about. So low sperm counts, poor motility, poor morphology, all these have actually been associated with infertility.
Okay, so we're already enough. Mm-hmm. PGT, I said we would talk about it briefly in like 30 seconds. Can you do that? Okay, so PGT, like we said, pre-implantation genetic testing. So it's a test carried out even before the woman gets pregnant. So we have the capabilities to check the embryos for all its abnormalities or normality, because it's, of course, during that procedure you still get good embryos for transfer. So basically the procedure has to be done with IVF, as has been explained, and that also improves the chances of you getting pregnant with a healthy baby. So it's actually been seen to reduce the time of pregnancy for people with repeated miscarriages due to chromosomal issues, and it can be used for people with
age decline, ovarian, you know, aging, and then also for clients that have a history of genetic defects.
Okay. I promised you an information packed edition today, and I'm sure you had that. We have my guests. I've been hosting representatives from the Bridge Clinic today. I've had Dr. Babatunde Ogunro, a fertility physician. Thank you all for coming. Also, Mrs. Rose Obeche, the head of laboratory, and Dr. Adefemi Olaifa, senior. What?
Mr.
Adefemi Olaifa, a senior embryologist. Thank you all so much for coming on the show. It's been wonderful having you on the show today. Now, I'm sure you have questions or comments. Maybe you can reach us on our social media handle. We are at 103.5 FM Radio 1. You can also call my producer Bumi on 0807-208-7477. That's 0807-208-7477. Then maybe if you call her, we'll get you. If you still have questions for Bridge Clinic, we'll be able to get your answers as you should. Thank you for listening. We'll be back same time next week for another edition of Health Connect Special. Thank you to our guests once again from Bridge Clinic, and happy anniversary.
Thank you very much.
My name is Olawunmi Akon. I'll be with you next week.
Radio 1, 103.5 FM. News, talk, sports.